So 40 days in the Word. How are we doing? I've heard mixed reactions through the past week. Some are really just on top of it and really gung-ho and loving it. I've heard others to say, I did one day this week. So my encouragement to you is, don't let that stop you. Start afresh. This is day 11. We got a lot more time to go. And I would even advise you, don't try to catch up. Just start fresh with today. If you have time later, you can go back and catch up. I've missed a day or two, and I ended up doing one in the morning and one in the evening to kind of catch up. So that's also a good idea. So last week, 2 weeks ago, Stephen preached and talked to us about why we can trust the Bible. And his bottom line was something like, he can trust the Bible, we can trust the Bible because of the life transformation that happens when we do trust God's Word. And then next week, we talked about how the Bible has changed us. And we had three people up here give great testimonies. Thank you for sharing. It was Julie, that was Hillary, and that was Oscar. That was a fantastic day. Thank you all for sharing your story and your heart of how God uses the Word to change us. And today we're going to talk about illumination, seeing what God wants us to see. Like I said in the welcome, we don't always see what God wants us to see because we're nearsighted. Some of us are just flat out blind when it comes to spiritual things, and we can't see it. And we're surrounded by a sinful world. You know, sin causes blindness. Either my sin causes me to not be able to see what God wants me to see when I open up the Bible. My sin does that, even though I'm saved and God has regenerated me and I've been reborn in the Spirit. My sin still gets in the way. It's that veil, right? But if people who don't know Christ, they have no spiritual discernment. They are unable to see what God wants them to see. It's kind of like this. I am so thankful that God gave me a kid because I have so many sermon illustrations now. And don't worry, when she gets old enough to know what's going on, I'm going to ask her permission, okay? Right now, she doesn't have a clue, so free game. Emma has two bags of big Lego blocks. You know, not the little ones, but they're like this big. And you can kind of see them on the floor there. And one bag has this nice little plastic window. And she loves to put that bag on her head and just walk around the house, and she'll play in it, and she'll come up to us, and, you know, it's just so cute. And she can see what's going on. Doesn't have very good peripheral vision, probably. Gets fogged up from her breath sometimes. But she can still see. The other bag of blocks has no window. For some reason, she likes to put this one on and walk around the house, and she bumps into things. She's boom, you know, just boom. I'm a little worried about her sometimes. Same bag of blocks, right? Same shapes, same sizes, but different bags. And she can't see when she puts that bag on her head. And it takes us right back to our opening scripture that we shared earlier. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. You and I have this need for God to open our eyes, especially when we open up the Word. Sometimes I open up the Word, and I have to be honest, and I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm reading the words on the page. That's all I'm doing. Sometimes I have to reread those words two or three times because I'm daydreaming. My ADD kicks in. I'm thinking about something else. Okay, focus, Barry, focus. And I have to read it again. And then I'm not getting anything out of this. It's dry. It's dull. It's boring. I just, where is the power? Where are the riches? Where are the wonderful things that God has for me? And it's like I got a bag on my head and I'm trying to read the scripture. It's like me trying to read and see and live without my glasses. I am so in need of sight. I am in need of God to open up my eyes. Other times, wow, it's amazing what happens when I read something. Maybe it's the scriptures, section of scriptures I have read 100 times before. And then something hits me. I'm like, I have never seen that there before. And it just speaks to me. It happened to me a couple weeks ago when I was preparing for the sermon about, you know, what is our foundation? It was the intro sermon to this whole thing. We talked about that the wise man builds his house on the rock. I've read that thing so many times. And I always thought, you know, the rock is Jesus, and the rock is Jesus. It is Jesus. But specifically in the scriptures, it says, the one who builds his house on my word. The word of God there is the foundation. Never saw that. So you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you had these aha moments, and you kind of feel stupid that you've never picked up on some things before. Am I the only one in the room that sometimes it's dry, dull, and boring, and other times it's like, wow, that's awesome? No, you don't have to answer it. I think you just did, though. Sometimes we receive this deeper insight, this spiritual understanding, or a conviction from the Holy Spirit as we read. The Bible is the same on both of those occasions. So what's changed? The Bible doesn't change. The Word of God does not change. So what's the difference? Wouldn't it be great if we could see the wonderful things, God's hope, God's riches, and God's power when we open up our Bible to read and study? Wouldn't that just be great that we could count on it? Man. Why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because it's important. It's important because sin, which we all are affected by, clouds our minds. Everybody is. We're all in the same boat. Sin clouds our minds. My own sin, and just being in a sinful world, what surrounds me, even if I'm living a pure and holy life and a thought life and I'm focused on God, the sin around me can affect how I see. It's important because I know that we all want our quiet times to be filled with awe and wonder. Am I right? We want that. It's important. Fortunately for us, the Bible has a lot to say about this. Tons to say. We could go to so many places and read what the Bible has to say about itself and the Holy Spirit. And today we are going to use the Bible to teach us how to see what God wants us to see in the Bible. This whole idea of seeing what God wants us to see in the Bible is called illumination. What does it mean to be illuminated? What does it mean to illuminate? Here are some synonyms. It means to light up or to shed light on something. It means to clarify, to reveal, to give insight to explain. There is increased comprehension when something is illuminated. And this is one of the Holy Spirit's jobs. The Holy Spirit of God wants to illuminate what we read in the Bible so that we see what God wants us to see at that moment. And it may be different tomorrow than it is today, because we are different today than we will be tomorrow. The Holy Spirit wants to illuminate what we read so that we see what God wants us to see. He shines a light when we read. He enlightens. He explains. He reveals. He convicts. He gives us spiritual eyes and to comprehend what he is saying, what he wants us to see. Now, let's define illumination by saying what it's not, okay? Illumination is not equal to information. It's not equal to information. And some of us in our church heritage, it was all about information, Bible facts. It's not about an intellectual academic approach. It's not limited to an intellectual academic approach. The Holy Spirit of God can illuminate your reading without the help of Greek and Hebrew lexicons and Bible commentaries. You don't need that for the Spirit to work. That does not mean the Spirit is against those things, because the Spirit can work through those tools as well for even a deeper understanding. So illumination is not anti-intellectual, anti-academic, and it is not hyper-intellectualism or academic. Neither is it hyper-mystical. People get this confused sometimes, this dichotomy of intellect and the Spirit. It's not just hyper-spiritual, where here's a hyper-spiritual way to read the Bible. You know, Lord, direct me today. Sometimes it's amazing what God does with that, to be honest. But that is it's almost an anti-intellectual approach to studying the Word. Spirit can still illuminate, but that is not what illumination is limited to, this hyper-intellectual or a hyper-mystical way to try to understand Scripture. Here's a couple of guys way smarter than me who defined what illumination is. Rick Warren says, it's letting the Holy Spirit show me the meaning of God's Word and how it applies to my life. J.I. Packer says, illumination is the applying of God's revealed truth to our hearts so that we can grasp as reality for ourselves what the sacred text sets forth. Those are two great quotes that hit it right on the money. It's about us seeing and God revealing the truth to us and us applying that truth to life, to our situations. There's so much in the Bible that we could go to. I mean, we could do a whole sermon series, 13-week sermon series, just on illumination and taking different stories and scriptures from the Bible. We could, if we wanted to, look at Numbers 22 and talk about Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God, but he decided to go work for the bad guys. So he's on his donkey and he's going to help the bad guys, and an angel of the Lord appears in the road. Balaam can't see him, but the donkey can. And the donkey reacts and just takes off running into a field. Balaam beats him back onto the path, gets on him, rides again. There's the angel again. Balaam can't see him. He has eyes. His eyes can't see. But the donkey has spiritual comprehension. The donkey has illumination. And he can see there's an angel flaming in fire with a sword in his hand. And what does he do? It didn't work for me to run away, so I'm going to try to go around him. So he tries to squeeze around him, and there's a cliff, and he crushes Balaam's foot. So what does Balaam do? He beats him again. Gets back on the path, going down, and there's the angel of the Lord again. You shall not pass. Balaam still has no eyes to see. He can't see it, but the donkey can. You know what the donkey does? He just lays down flat, not going anywhere. Of course, Balaam beats him again. Isn't it sad that something as stupid as a donkey can see with spiritual eyes? So you don't have to be super smart to have your Bible reading, Bible time illuminated by the Spirit. You can be pretty doggone ignorant, which is really good news for people like me. We could skip ahead. Oh, look at the scripture from Numbers 22. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. Balaam's eyes were opened by God, and he was illuminated to the situation. We can skip ahead to Elisha. Elisha is another prophet of God, and you know, he's in this little town with his servant Gehazi, And Gehazi gets up in the morning, comes out of the tent. You know, when you're camping, you get up early in the morning, get out of the tent. It's kind of brisk. You're like, I'm going back in. He gets out and he looks and he sees thousands of the army and chariots and all around, surrounding them. This is the king of Aram has sent these to grab Elisha and take him hostage, make him a prisoner, maybe even kill him. So Gehazi freaks out. He goes back in the tent. Elisha, there are thousands. They're coming. You know what Elisha says? He says this: those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Gehazi's going, 1, 2. You got other people I don't know about? Gehazi can't see. He has not been illuminated, but Elisha has spiritualized, and he takes him outside the tent, and he says, look around. He prays. Elisha prays. He says, open his what? Lord, so that he may. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The Lord's army was there all along. But Gehazi didn't have the spiritual eyes to see it. He has not been illuminated until the Lord opens his eyes. We could skip ahead to after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. This is a post-resurrection appearance in Luke 24. He's walking along the road with two disciples, and they're on the road to the town of Emmaus. And all day long, they're walking with Jesus, and they're going, oh, man, what's wrong with you guys? Haven't you heard all this happened? Jesus of Nazareth, who we thought was the Messiah, has been killed, you know, and we're just downhearted. Everything we believed in is just not, it's false. What are we going to do? They've lost hope. And Jesus opens the scriptures. He opens the Torah, and he talks about himself. But they can't see that it's him. Their eyes are blinded to who Jesus really is until they sit down for a meal together. And Jesus, as he did at the Last Supper, as he did at this table today, Jesus broke the bread. And when they saw that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. That's Luke 24:31. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. We could go to so many places in the Bible to find out more about illumination. We could go to Paul's letters. And all through Paul's letters, he talks about illumination. In Ephesians, he talks about how the Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. And he talks about how the natural man, the person without the Spirit, has no spiritual understanding because his understanding is darkened. Those are Paul's words in Ephesians 4. We can look at Corinthians to find out that the Spirit searches the deep things of God. He teaches us spiritual truths, and he gives us spiritual discernment. The Spirit allows us to have the mind of Christ in Corinthians. We can skip ahead to Colossians and find out that God wants to fill us with knowledge and of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. There are so many places we could go. We could look at Jesus in the book of John, especially when he's talking to his disciples, and he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to provide for you a comforter. I'm going to provide for you the Holy Spirit, who is going to teach you. He's going to remind you, and he's going to convict the world of sin. He's going to convict the world of who I really am. There's so many places we could go to, but today we're going to go to Psalm 119. The whole psalm of Psalm 119 is about God's Word. It's about the love and appreciation that the writer has for God's Word and the longing desire that he shows for God's Word. And it's a prayer for God to open his eyes and continue to open his eyes so he can really see. You know what? This is this week's memory verse, too. Week 3 memory verse is this, Psalm 119 from verse 18. Say it with me. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Now, don't get hung up on the word law there. That just means Torah, which is the first 5 books of the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. And it's really instructions. Okay, don't get hung up on that word law. So open my eyes that I may see the wonderful thing in your word, is what he's saying here. Open my eyes. If the psalmist needs help to see the wonderful things in God's Word? Don't you think you and I need that help? Yes, we do. There's a couple things I want us to notice here. Number one, there are wonderful things in God's Word. These wonderful things, He wants to use them to change us deeply. He wants to be us to be able to really see them so that we delight in them and we treasure them and we hide them in our heart. These wonderful things, I'm just going to give you some little bits from the whole psalm. These little things bless me. These wonderful things bless me. These wonderful things preserve my life. These wonderful things keep me pure. These wonderful things keep me from sin. These wonderful things strengthen me in times of sorrow. These wonderful things comfort me in my suffering. These wonderful things keep me from being shamed. And they make me wiser than my teachers, my elders, and my enemies. And so much more if you read Psalm 119. It is important. This is very important for us to really live the life that God wants us to live. If you had a disease and the doctor said, I have the solution, I have what can heal you, it's this medicine. You need to go to Walgreens and get it filled and take it every day. It will save your life. I doubt any of us in this room will go, nah, I'll take it or leave it. I can't afford it. I'm busy. I don't have time to go to Walgreens. No, none of us would say that. And yet God is saying, you're dying. Sin has blinded you, and I have the solution to save your life. There are wonderful things that God has for us, and He wants them. He wants to give these things to us. And the second thing I notice in this verse is that we can't see these wonderful things without God's help. We can't. We are helpless to see these things without His help. This is a quote from James Buchanan back in 1843. It's not going to be on the screen, so listen carefully. As it is difficult to convey an idea of color to the blind or music to the deaf, so it is difficult to describe to the natural man, the one without the Spirit of God, the peculiar perceptions of one whose eyes have been opened by the Spirit. Perhaps the nearest approach that we can make to an explanation may be by asking you to conceive of a person who sees but has no sense of beauty, or a man who hears but has no sense of harmony. Just such is the case of a natural man who sees the truth without perceiving its spiritual excellence, and on whose ear the sound of the gospel falls without awakening music in his soul. That describes my quiet time sometimes. I can't hear the harmony. I can't see the color because I'm blinded. The sin around me is blinding me. To the psalmist and all the other writers of the Bible, God's Word contains wonderful things that we don't want to miss, but these things cannot be seen by ourselves. We need the Spirit of God to illuminate us, because the Spirit of God wants to illuminate what we read so that we see what God wants us to see. So what do you do with this information? How can you tap into all that God has in store for you when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, when you have these quiet times, when you find the Bible dull and lifeless? What can you do about it? You hear about other people who share their spiritual insights, maybe in your growth group, and you go, wow, I wish I could get those kind of insights. I mean, that person is really in touch with God. I wish I could have exciting, wonderful, quiet times. If you really want what they have, I'm going to give you three simple things to do. Now, these are not the answer. They are helpful hints in order to see what God, help us to see what God wants us to see. Number one, we got to ask. If you want to experience the goodness of the Word and you want to see what God wants you to see, then you got to pray and ask Him to open your eyes. Every single time you sit down for a quiet time, before you open your Bible, be quiet before the Lord. Confess your sin, because your sin is blinding you. Ask God to reveal the sin in your life, or just the sinful circumstances that are swirling around you. Confess those things. Agree with God and ask Him to open up, give you spiritual eyes. Tell Him you want to be like a donkey. You want to have your eyes open to spiritual things. That is the most important thing you can do if you want your quiet times to be filled with awe and wonder, and you want illumination. Next thing you you should do is to seek. Don't just read, seek. Search. As if you're searching for buried treasure. You got to find it. You got to dig. You got to think. You have to use your brain. You might have to look up some different references and footnotes and things like that, but seek. Let me just time out right here. The 40 Days in the Word experience, our workbooks and the small group discussions are very helpful because we're talking about the meditation style of Bible study. It's very personal and it's very reflective, and we need that. There are many other types of Bible studies where the Spirit can still illuminate. Do not be satisfied with the meditation Bible study format. It's great. It's probably the most basic thing that we need to get a hold of. And God, the Spirit of God will illuminate. But that's not really a seeking type of Bible study. I mean, we're looking at one scripture a day, all right? Ask God, and we're asking God to show us what He wants to see in that one scripture. That is a good way to study scripture. But there are other ways where you look at the context of that one scripture. You look at the whole book or the whole letter. And how does it fit in there? There's so many different ways we can seek and go deeper in our Bible study. That'll come later if you're not ready for that. Let's just focus on the meditation form of Bible study right now. But in Psalm 119, in verses 10 and 11, he says this, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Seek God. Search after His wonderful things in His Word. Don't be satisfied when your Bible study and reading is dull and boring. Go deeper. We got to ask God to help us open our eyes. We got to seek Him. And we have to decide, we have to commit that we're going to obey. This is before we read our Bible for the day, okay? Before you open up and read your Bible, you say, Lord, I will do whatever you show me to do in my quiet time today. I commit to you before I read a word. When your Holy Spirit convicts me and gives me insight of something I need to change, I'm going to do it. Then open up your Bible and see what God has for you. Again, from Psalm 119, verses 33 and 34. Teach me, Lord. In other words, open my eyes, let me see. Teach me the way of your decrees that I may follow it to the end. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to do it. Give me your understanding. Open my eyes so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Bible study, Bible reading for the sake of Bible study and Bible reading and saying I had a quiet time today because this is what I'm supposed to do. Blah, 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 blah. Without it changing your life is useless. Throw it out if that's your way of doing it. It's useless unless we allow it to transform us like we talked about last week. This is day 11 in the 40 days in the Word. Are you struggling with being consistent? Are you behind? Maybe you're all caught up in being consistent, but you aren't getting much out of it. You're doing it every day, but it's dry and it's boring. It might be because you are trying to bring your light to illuminate God's Word. My light and your light are incapable of illumination. We need to depend on God's Spirit to show us the wonderful things in His Word, His riches, His power, His glory. We need the Spirit's illumination. So let's ask, let's seek, and let's obey. Now, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, the amount of illumination available to you is minimal. I believe the Spirit still works. When someone is not a believer yet, maybe they're interested or they're seeking, the Spirit still works to illuminate. But they will have nowhere near the spiritual illumination available to them when compared to believers, because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. If you're far from God, if you're away from God, if you haven't surrendered Him, then you are blind. We sang Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. I once was what? Lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Thank God. You should be thanking God this morning that the scales have been lifted and the veil has been lifted and you can see the spiritual things, the fine details like I saw those limbs on the ends of the tree. Stand with me. We're going to sing the song because, number one, it's really fun. It's Hank Williams Sr. And Hank Williams, he nails it on the head with this song.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Isn't it great? Those of us who have our eyes open to the spiritual things, that we can say, I've seen the light. And we cry out, God, I want more light. I'm still blinded. Sin keeps creeping up on me and closing my eyes. Open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things in your word. The Spirit wants to illuminate our eyes so that we can see what God wants us to see. Do you want to see what God wants you to see?
Yeah.
Then ask and seek and obey. And if you've never made a step to surrender your life to Jesus, we want to help start you on that journey today. You're blind and God wants to open up your eyes. You're lost and God wants to find you. I'm going to be in the back with some of our shepherds. We invite you just to walk back there. Any form, any stage of blindness that you have, we want to pray for you, pray with you.